breathe slowly, move away, because really you're probably more likely to get hurt by a cat than you are a bee. And I think, again, like I said, it's about sort of slowing your body down, respecting the environment. Everything has a purpose, and then being a little bit more curious, trying to be more curious than scared at the end of the day.
For those that are curious, you can find out more about the Honeybee Center at honeybeecenter.com. You can also visit their farm location in Surrey, BC, which is open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Are you a fan of industrial and have been trying to find smaller artists? Have you only heard of Nine Inch Nails and are looking to get further into the genre? Maybe you're like that guy I met in my lecture who hadn't even heard of Linkin Park. No matter where you're coming from, Wire & Nerve is the show for you. 1 hour of all kinds of industrial, from Throbbing Gristle to Godflesh to Frontline Assembly and more. Tune in Mondays 7 to 8 p.m. only on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Speak Up. My name is Magnus Tevels. Joining me here in the studio today is
Peter
R.H. And thanks for listening today. If you hear anything you hear on this program or any of the programs here on CJSF, please send us a message. You can text us or call us in the studio at 778-782-2573. That's 782-2573, 782-CJSF, the last four letters, if makes it easy to remember. You can also contact our program coordinator at cjsfprog@sfu.ca. If you also have comments, feedback, praise, or whatever, we'd love to hear from you. We are here for you, the listener, and we want to hear what you have to say about the things we talk about here on CJSF. Next up, we're going to get to gardening with Embark. But first, this message about programming coming up here on CJSF.
My name's Katie. You want some cool new music to listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang out with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there.
Time now for Gardening with Embark. Joining me in the studio today, as he does every week, is Pablo Vimas from Embark Sustainability, our gardens expert. The sun's out and bright every day now, getting up earlier and earlier as well. So busy days in the garden.
Hi, everyone. Yes, as you mentioned, the sun is shining by 5:30, and somehow we gardeners tend to wake up when the sun is just shining, and we have long days in the garden, and as well for planning and planting. So over the weekend, we had a long weekend of May that we gardeners keep as a deadline to start our summer gardening. So summer gardening at the moment is in full swing. Everybody, I guess, over the weekend was busy planting, transplanting, sowing and seeding. And so at this time, most of our gardens are planted. And I think everybody is happy to see the plants that they got from the garden centers.
Yeah.
So this weather, which is nice and warm, we have tomatoes, peppers, zucchinis, eggplants, tomatillos, shiso, all those plants that love hot weather, cucumbers, squashes, and as well sunflowers. So this is a time that is advised to start from seedlings. Mm-hmm. So most of those crops that like hot weather, we start from seedlings, because they will take a little while to grow if you start from seeds. So
right.
If you put pepper seeds, tomato seeds, the seeds will germinate. There's no doubt about that. But the tomatoes you plant will be starting to produce by the end of September, when the cold weather starts. It's too late, and you might not
it's
get.
It's just going to take too long for the plant to get to the point where it's going to start producing fruit.
Correct. Yes, and so you will end up with lots of green tomatoes, not many red tomatoes. So that is the reason why most of the summer crops we start from seedlings, because we optimize the mm-hmm. cold weather, the cold time, 10 weeks of cold weather to grow our seedlings indoors, and now we transplant outdoors. And certainly, if we are frost free, cloudy days and cold days, that's okay, the plant can stand, but we don't expect to have less than 10 degrees Celsius at night. So that is the, if you started your seeds from, your plants from seeds, well, keep an eye and see how they do. Keep your journal and see how the plant is doing. With this nice sun, depending on your garden location, the soil will start warming up very quick too. Mm-hmm. So any seed that you put in the soil, and if you keep the soil nice and moist, in a week time you will see all seed germinating. So this is a good time to you plant, and you will see immediately grow in your garden.
Yeah.
But if you put your seeds in the ground and nothing happens in a week, you can give it a second week, but if nothing germinates in a second week, well, it's just
it didn't work.
And yeah. Just replant. Don't wait at the end of the month. Also, we should remember that in 30 days, the longest day of the year is here, the mm-hmm. summer solstice. We gardeners are so happy. Lots of sunlight. So there's no lack of light, it's no lack of wood worm. If nothing works, it's just the seeds that are not viable.
Yeah. But really, given the timing and where we are in the season, you're really better off at this point, if you want to actually get some production and some fruit, to get some seedlings that are well on their way already.
Yes. Seedlings are all on the already established, just transplant. The other thing that we should consider is about which cold crops likes this hot weather. Mm-hmm. For instance, we like arugula, spinach, pak choi, but unfortunately these three, they tend to go into flower very quick. Very right. quick. So you will have a small seed, a small plant already with a flower. So I would say just wait for your cold crops to be at the end of the summer to start growing again. And unfortunately, right. at the moment, we are harvesting all the spring crops that we planted in mid-March, early April, and we are just harvesting. So we are just enjoying mm-hmm. the season and making space for our warm crops. As we notice, the climate is changing. We gardeners be outdoors every day. We notice that the climate has changed. We had heat waves over the summer, hot weather, no rain. And now in the fall, we have extremely rains. So these two conditions. And last winter, we had a warm winter. So mm-hmm. at this moment, you also will see there is lots of pests in the garden, because the winter was warm. No, all of them died because of the frost. So now we have a garden that is bounty, and as well, we will have some work to do controlling pests. So that's the other thing, that visit your garden quite often, and you see any pests, just be on top of that. Doesn't mind if there's a nibble here or there, but once you notice that your plant is gone overnight, that's concerning.
Yeah. What about because we've got a lot of leafy greens in the garden right now, lettuces and stuff, what about when are those good for the summer as well, and do we have a new round of planting, or is that something we can sort of keep going continuously?
Yeah, if we have a shaded space, a cool space, mm-hmm. That would be the the space to plant our leafy greens like lettuce, spinach, so they don't get direct sunlight. They're just in the shade, so that will be fantastic for that. Unfortunately, our gardens are in full sun exposure. The moment that we put anything or those spinach, they will just bolt immediately, going into flower. But if you have a small space with a shade, kind of cold area, that's the section where we can continue growing our cold vegetables and leafy greens. Talking back to the climate, it was saying that we as well should keep an eye on which vegetables do well on under dry conditions. So everyone here in Metro Vancouver knows that by the beginning of May, we have water restrictions. And because we started very early this season, we just are expecting that this water restriction will increase once we hit June, July, August. We will have problems with tap water. So we start now thinking as well, we should start thinking which of the varieties that we are planting in the garden are going to respond with less watering, how they are responding. So that helps us to select those varieties for the upcoming year. So the next year we'll say, oh, this variety of carrots did very well under drought conditions. And as well, this pepper, this tomato did very well. We know that tomatillo is one of the plants that stands drought. So you don't need to water too often. This is a plant that can stand drought. But there are tomatoes, that varieties that they need constantly watering. So as well, I think this is the time that we start adding the climate change in our variety, selecting our varieties for the upcoming years.
In your memory, have we ever had in our area a water restriction that restricted or limited garden watering, like growing gardens? Because we're already in a situation where people aren't allowed to water their lawns.
Yes. So fortunately, food production, we have to be, I think it's level 5. Right. For stop watering our food gardens. Right. So we haven't got to that level yet here in Burnaby. So we're quite lucky having your food garden still be able to use the water tap water while while the restrictions are for watering your lawn or washing cars or like that.
Yeah. But something to worry about for the future, but not this year, hopefully.
No, hopefully not this year. And so this year, I think, is a year of experimentation. Keep an eye what is working in the summer crops, and then we go into winter and to fall, and as well keep an eye how the vegetables are dealing with the water saturation. Because we will have extremely rainfalls. at the beginning, it was called the Pineapple Express, and later is the atmospheric rivers, and everything gets flooded. So we are okay because we have raised beds, but if you have in-ground plots, the water just stays in there. So how, as well, keep a track how your crop is doing that, which crop is standing the flooding, which crop doesn't like it. So for the coming years, you have your varieties that are perfect for your garden.
Definitely something to be observing over the coming years on whether, people need to start adjusting some of their plant selections for what they're putting in the garden.
Correct. So we start slowly moving from the plant that I like for the taste. We should move to the plant that stands the weather conditions, the current weather conditions, and as well adjusting our palate to like those vegetables.
I recently talked to a researcher from UBC who is studying climate change and seasonal changes in temperate zones, our neck of the world, region latitudes. And his research was showing that summers are extending in areas like ours, particularly on coastal areas, by 4 to 7 days a decade, which is, a lot.
A lot, yeah.
In 40 years, it's a whole month. And perhaps this is something you notice, that the transitions between sort of seasonal transitions happen more abruptly. And we sort of saw that this year, like last month, where we went from cold weather to boom. It was well into the 20s. Mm-hmm. So lots, changes are happening that we're going to need to be following on to, food production of all kinds, you know, not just us home gardeners, but everybody in the food production business.
Yes. So everyone who grows in the open space that we have to, we depend very much on the weather conditions to have a good production. So yes, we need to keep an eye on that and start taking steps in our observing our garden, observing our crops, how they do, and taking steps for the next year so we can ad slowly adjust to our to the coming conditions, weather conditions in the future.
Yeah. Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Pablo. Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability. What do you got it happening in your garden this week?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, as I mentioned, we are harvesting our spring crops. We use our learning garden in the student union for teaching with our garden spring gardening cohort, and everything is ready to harvest. So we have lots of greens that need to be harvested because we plant at the same time and all of the plants come at the same time. So we have plenty of leafy greens to share. So we are harvesting, and the produce this week will go to the SFSS food pantry. So yes, so we know that there are food needs in the community, and we are happy to share our produce with the community. The food rescue that we usually run, we have postponed to start on next week. Next week we will start the food rescue. So if anyone comes is supporting our program for food rescue, please wait one more week. But today we are harvesting for the food pantry.
And if people are on campus for the food rescue, you'll be setting up tables and people will be able to come by and pick out some produce.
Correct. So we usually are located in the subway hall, close to the bus loop. Yes. So we are always there every Thursday between 1:30 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And besides that, we will be freeing lots of space in the garden and making room for our planting our summer crops. So we have some tomatoes ready to go, peppers ready to go, and then continue growing the root crops that are still growing slowly in the garden.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Pablo. Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability. How do people find out more about Embark?
Oh, Embark, you can follow us or learn a bit more about us through our website at embarksustainability.org or visit our social channels at embarksustainability.
Great. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Peter R.H. is here.
And, okay, let's start off with...
You're going to be talking about Winston Churchill.
The official biography, which is sort of has because he would write about, he would keep writing, like he would write history,
Yeah, I mean, he was a politician, most famous for of course, leading the British in the Second World War.
That's right.
But long famous before that for a lot of other stuff, and among other things... Besides from being a politician, he was also a writer and wrote books and essays and a public figure in that
you
way,
seem
too.
Semi-impressed by him, anyway. The biography, which is sort of has autobiography tones to it, by Randolph Churchill and Martin Gilbert. Combined, the work spans over 42,000 pages and contains roughly 10 million words. It's shockingly big. It's like an encyclopedia. And for his early life, from 1874 to about 1902 to 1908, it's a merciful 400 pages by Winston. But he would write things, and I assume this biography is sort of based on his other... He would write about World War II and everything.
Yeah.
Now then... the other thing about him is that he got into debt a lot, and somebody bailed him out in 1938. Who gave him money? Okay. Oh, in 1938, the Austrian-born British financier and industrialist Sir Henry Strzok provided the money that saved Winston Churchill from bankruptcy. I saw a, kind of a YouTube posting over the weekend on this, and they said it wasn't as such a bit of a conspiracy, but what it kind of was that he was bad with money. In 1915, he hadn't paid his wine bill for 5 years, and his cigar bill. He liked high living and all of this. And they knew he was one of the people that would stand up, you know, say we got to do something about Nazi Germany and so on. And so that he was bailed out. And he even if it was kind of dumb. He, you know, this is after the war. He would go to Monte Carlo and lose money. And now I got a smaller biography. I found this like it was some church with all these educational books. Mm-hmm. This is a 1963 Winston Churchill biography. And 1963 was still alive. And so this is when he was 18. One day, his younger brother Jack and a cousin suggested they play a game somewhat similar to the American favorite, Cops and Robbers. Winston was to be the robber, and the other two were to pursue him and capture him. The chase was an exciting one across rather wild terrain. Suddenly, Winston found himself trapped on a narrow bridge, which crossed a deep ravine. The deceptively thick with fir trees. As either end of the bridge was his pursuers, playing a game, by the way, it should be, and he's 18 years old. Winston decided he would avoid capture by leaping off the bridge onto the top of the closest tree. His plan to break his fall by jumping from branch to branch to his descent. Unfortunately, he went straight on down, 29 feet to the ground. The terrified boys ran back to tell his mother. Winston lay unconscious for 3 days, while some of the best doctors summoned from London hovered around him. So he was bedridden for much of 1893. I mean, did you do something that stupid when you were 18? it just strikes me as...
Fortunately not.
Are you going to apologize for this behavior?
Around that age, I did once climb down a cliff face, which when I think, even now when I think about it, it gives me chills. Like, what the hell was I thinking? Anyway,
I you know, it's funny, and this isn't a book which glamorizes the man.
Mm-hmm.
This is his drinking habits. And they always say, oh, well, he wasn't an alcoholic. Let's see. Morning. That's usually a bad sign. Began with Papa Cocktail, a very weak scotch and soda in bed, followed by another while supervising his garden. I don't know what point. It doesn't matter. This was at one point in his life. Lunch. Consumed by Imperial Pint, roughly 20 ounces of champagne. Followed by a glass of cognac. Afternoon, enjoyed additional watered-down whiskeys and occasional glass of wine. Dinner accompanied by another Imperial pint of champagne or Borgiac, rounded off but with a brandy or liqueur. Does this sound like a lot of drinking?
It definitely sounds like a lot of drinking.
In fact, there's a story... that during World War II, he got drunk, unable to make his radio broadcast. He's sort of with the anti-Obama, because Obama would read off the teleprompter. Supposedly, someone took his written speech, and it was the voice of Winnie the Pooh on British radio, and he imitated his voice. So there you go. That's a story from World War II. He lost the election... In 1945, after the war, Labor got 11 million, or the Labor Prime Minister, and he got 8 million. He came in 1951. What was interesting was that he was not, he was appointed in 1940. He had a seat in Parliament, but he was not as such elected as Prime Minister in 1940. Now, it was very important to his legacy that he was to be elected by the people. So, and that run of his politics was sort of, a lot of people say it wasn't very special. He sort of resigned in 1955.
Yeah.
But Time magazine in 1949 made him man of the actual half century. Well, and of course, Time sort of contradicted itself. In 1999, it said Albert Einstein was the man of the whole century. But their way of thinking was, in 1949, Winston Churchill was the man of the half century. And interestingly, he was perhaps more appreciated in the United States than in England.
I think he was very appreciated in England, too. I think part of the reason he lost that election in 45, because he was appreciated for his role as a war leader. I think people had big doubts about his suitability for a peace as a peacetime recovery leader. So I think he's still somewhat revered in the UK for his role during the war, but I think people just finished a war. They didn't want someone who was bellicose and aggressive, say, towards the Soviet Union. They wanted someone who's going to help them get life back to normal, which in the UK, they had rationing until like 1955 or something. It took a long time for their economy to recover from the war, and some would say that it never really recovered in the sense that, you know, it lost its role as a leading power.
Well, the other thing is that he comes from the upper classes.
Very much so.
So I don't think a lower class person would stand a chance with being him. I mean, it's just I find him a blowhard. He's just a continual blowhard, and I think the United States would have backed England regardless of who they had as prime minister. So but you seem to feed into this myth of him, Magnus, a little bit.
I don't think it's necessarily a myth. I mean, it's analogous to, you know, he was the right person at the right time with the right message to bolster the morale of the British people.
Oh, you buy into that.
Okay. You know, there's loads of criticisms of him. Everything from, you know, whether some of the war decisions, whether in the First World War was Gallipoli deciding to attack.
This is an important
from the south.
There was an induced famine in India. That was then a colony of the United Kingdom. So, no, a big zero to him, if I were to give him a mark. But you like some aspect. You bought into this. Maybe that.
Well, I would say that no one. People are complicated, including world leaders, and no one is perfect.
And some are farther away from being perfect.
Yeah.
People. Anyway, but the common folk don't stand a chance to be this disastrously bad and just hold their head above water. And that's what I say.
All right. Thanks for that, Peter. Peter R.H. on Winston Churchill. Thanks for listening to the program today. We'll be back here next week and the following weeks. Danny Nesvadarani will be here in the chair for Speak Up tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And on Wednesday, you can tune in for Intravenous and another episode of Speak Up again at 10 a.m. on Thursday. So please tune in to all those shows. We had a lot of great stuff, interviews and features and discussions coming up all week this week, as we do every week. and we hope we'll see you back. Democracy Now! Is coming up right away. Stay tuned for lots of great programming here on CJSF throughout the rest of the day.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this